Okay. So it's great to be talking with you. And if you could just tell us your name and where you're from, and just a little bit about your adoption of Haven, when and from what province.
My name is Kim Vanderbee, and I'm a resident of Chula Vista, California, originally from Holland, Michigan. I adopted Haven in 2002 from the Chow Hu Children's Welfare Institute in Anhui Province.
Okay. And how old is she now?
She turned 18 in April.
Okay. So I did talk with Haven, and I know we connected over Facebook, which, you know, Facebook, I curse Facebook, and I love Facebook, like I think all of us.
And
you had this, you know, you were saying that you had this very interesting story in that Haven is recently in reunion with her birth parents. And so I was wondering if you would tell us about that. How did it happen? And then maybe a bit about what that's like for you.
Okay. Well, after I got Haven, I had questions, obviously, about how she ended up at the orphanage. Obviously, I knew a lot about the one-child policy and I guess the reasons why parents were giving up baby girls. And just in the back of my mind, I thought maybe someday we would find out who her parents were through DNA testing, but didn't speak to her about it. She knew she was adopted early on, but she was about 3 or 4 and in the bathtub, and I was washing her, so she's probably closer to age 3. And I said to her, "You have loved the water since day one." And she said, "You mean since the day I was born?" And I said, "Since the day, or since the first time I put you in the bathtub in the Chinese hotel." And she goes, "Oh." And then I walked away for a moment to grab a towel. And when I came back, she said, "Mama, I feel bad for my Chinese mom and dad." And I was like, "Where did that come from?" And I said, "Oh, you do? Why?" And she said, "Because they had to let me go." And there was no blame. It was more compassion. It wasn't they gave me up. It was they let me go. Of course, by this time, I'm like crying. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I know, honey, but they didn't want to. They loved you very much." And she said, "You know, I bet they think about me every day, especially on my birthday." And I was like, "Oh." By this time, I've got her out of the tub, and we're sitting on the end of my bed, and she's wrapped in her towel. And I said, "Yeah." And then she says, "Mama, do you love my Chinese mom and dad?" "Oh, yes, I love them very much. They made sure you were healthy and safe." And then she said, "Do you think sometime we could visit my Chinese mom and dad?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm not exactly sure where they are." And she seemed surprised by that. And she said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm not sure if we'll ever find them," I said, "but maybe we'll meet them in heaven someday." And then she said, "You know, I'd just like to see what they look like." And then I, you know, didn't bring it up again, and she didn't bring it up. It was just kind of something she had on her heart. And I was just so amazed that this little girl with such an old soul had such insights. So I wanted to do a heritage tour with her, bring her back to China so she could see where she came from and visit the orphanage. So we did that in 2012. And when we did the orphanage tour, they actually had relocated to a newer facility, but they had the same staff. The director of the orphanage remembered Haven. And I had the address of, you know, the abandonment certificate. And several years earlier, I had hired someone in China to take a picture of the finding location. And I showed her the photos and I showed her the address. And she said, "That's not right." And she said, she says, I'm from the area where she's from. She said, would you like us to take you there? And I said, yeah, I'd love that. And she said, Haven was the only baby that came from that village. So she said, there's a chance we could run into some of her relatives. So she said, we should go in very quickly, go in and go out. And I said, okay, yep, I agree with that. And so we did. And Haven had very distinctive eyebrows. And so we did encounter some people along the way. And I was just like, I wonder if anybody has her eyebrows. But nobody, you know, said anything to us or bothered us per se. And after we left, the director said that some families of adopted children were coming back with journalists looking for the birth families. And she said she thought that some of them were having some success. And she said, you know, if you want to come back when Haven is older and maybe, you know, bring a journalist or something. I was like, okay, all right, great, thanks. And I just kind of put that on the shelf for a while because I wanted to wait until she was older and knew someone else whose child had found their birth parents and got a little bit of information from her on what to do. And she recommended that the next time we went to China, that we create posters that showed then and now and a short message saying, saying, you know, I'm looking for my birth parents just to let them know that I'm well, I'm not angry. And that was very important because I guess they had done some initial flyers and people were confused, like, is this the same person? You know, why do they want to find them? Are they upset? And so when we went back to China last year for a service tour, we made arrangements to go back to the orphanage again. Basically, we wanted to do DNA testing, and we were going to be there on a Saturday, and the DNA place was closed. And so the new orphanage director said she would take us to the police station to do DNA testing. So that's what we did. And then we told her that we had these flyers that we were going to take to the village, and she said, okay. And she was extremely nice and accommodating. And as we were leaving or close to the village where we thought Haven had come from, my guide got a phone call, and she said to go to this like a civic center of a very small village, and that they had information. And so we went to the village and went to this little civic center area, and there were like five men behind the counter, very, very friendly. Of course, I couldn't understand a word they were saying, but, you know, very nice. And they were chatting with my guide and provided her with a couple of phone numbers. One was for an older lady. That's the way they described her, from the village where Haven had come from. And the other one was for her father, who had moved away shortly after she was born, he and his wife and their daughter. So I was pretty shocked. And I was like, we have the number for her father? And so she said, yeah, let's give a call. And they, I'm not sure who, this is the part that I don't really understand. Why were we in the car and on the way to the village when we were told we could get the phone numbers, you know, later? It's, I don't know. Some of it, like Haven says, you know, we don't really understand, but we're just happy the way it turned out. Mm-hmm. So we got her dad on the phone, and he was elated. The first thing he said to me was, thank you, thank you. And he was just, he was gregarious. You could just tell he was over the moon. Said, do I need to come tomorrow for DNA testing? Well, he lived on the other side of the country at this point, like, you know, the distance from New York City to, or New York to LA. And so something like that would have been a huge expense for him. And we're like, no, just come when you can, you know, just to verify. But when I saw his picture, we asked him to send a picture. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, she's the spitting image of her father.
Wow.
So then her father has a cousin who's a businessman in China, in Shanghai, and speaks English very well. And so he contacted me and he said he'd like to meet us before we went back to the U.S. So we were able to meet him and his wife and son the day before we went back to the U.S. And then we started keeping in touch through WeChat after that point. Then our relationship just continued to evolve. Her father and I think, are kindred spirits. We just disconnected. It was like we'd known each other forever. And we're like, you know, he said, you know, I don't think we'll be able to come to the U.S. Do you think you can come here? And I said, yeah. And he said, how about for Spring Festival? In other words, Chinese New Year, which was you know, late January, early February this past year. And I said, yeah, let's do it. You know, I'll take Haven out of school for a week, even if I have to. You know, she was a senior. I figured, you know, this would be a good educational experience, right? So yeah, I mean, I don't know how much Haven told you about the our visit with them, but we met an extension of our family. We're all now one big family, and it's remarkable. I can't imagine our life without them at this point. And we plan to go back, hopefully again in 2021. She has an older sister and a younger brother. Her brother's a senior in high school. Possibly when he graduates, he and his sister will come to the U.S. for a visit. Her sister just got a job in Shanghai after graduating from college. And her sister is just lovely. If I had to choose anyone on the planet to be her sister, it would be her. The family was just, I mean, it was one day after another.
I mean, it is the whole thing. I have a couple of questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So the first thing I want to say is, you know, congratulations. I'm very happy for you, and I'm happy for Haven, because I know what a incredible thing this is. And it's a door that I sometimes think adoptive families, you know, I wonder if, you know, you open it and you can't just close it again. It's a relationship that begins. And so it's really great to hear that that's how you regard it. And that's how you all are handling it. And that it's a gift, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. My family, my parents and siblings and whatnot live in Michigan. And so I had said to Haven, you know, a couple of years ago, if we ever did find your birth family, then what? And she said, well, it'd be nice if we could just visit them now and then, like we visit our family in Michigan. Because, you know, I was all for it, but yet there was still this little part of me that was like, but what if she meets them? She wants to move there, you know? She's American true and true. I mean, she loves, you know, her family and her Chinese family and the culture. She knows that her life here has provided her with a lot of opportunities that she wouldn't have had, you know, if she'd stayed there.
And I'm sure she has, her bond with you is very profound. You are the only mother she's ever known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. And we are very close. And yeah, that's another thing too, you know, meeting her, well, because I'm a single mom, you know, she hasn't had a father in her life. And so when she did, you know, meet her birth father, I think it was easy for them to just kind of fall into pace because he didn't have to feel like he was, you know, stepping on someone else's toes or whatever. And her birth mom, I think it's part of its personality, part of its culture. She was just very respectful towards me. She kind of like stepped back. She's more quiet, the way Haven tends to be, I think, more introverted. You know, I felt like even if she develops a relationship with her birth mom, which she slowly is or will, I feel like nobody can ever take away what I've had with her for the last 18 years. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So.
Did they tell you why? Why? What happened? The story of their relinquishment of her, assuming it was a relinquishment?
Yeah. So her father is one of five children. He's the only son. And he and his wife had a daughter, Ray. And then I guess because they lived in the country, they could have two children, but they had to be at least 4 years apart. So when Ray was four and a half, Haven was born. I'm assuming they didn't know ahead of time what her gender was, but they had been in contact, as he described it, with the brother of a relative who had no children and wanted children. And they said, you know, that they would, you know, adopt her if it was a girl. So he told me that she was born in a hospital and that she lived with them for 4 days. And then the other family came and took her. And then they just assumed that she was living with them all this time because they actually do have a daughter now, apparently. And this, they thought that that daughter was Haven.
Oh.
So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. He told me that it wasn't until Haven and I showed up that they realized what had happened. So, we're not sure why, but we think it has something to do with money, and I don't know. And I guess they didn't follow protocol the way it was supposed to be done, apparently. If a relative adopts a child from a family member or something, and that's all I understand at this point, but they couldn't keep her. So they're the ones who turned her in.
I see.
Because, you know, her abandonment certificate, cites, you know, there was a finding spot and a police station and whatnot. And I remember we were standing in the room when we were in China this last time of the house where Haven stayed for 4 days, and grandma was there and, you know, mom and dad. And then, you know, I asked about the police station, and even grandma, she was shaking her head. No, 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 there was no police station. She said, so, yeah.
Had you ever questioned or wondered if the story in the abandonment papers was true or not?
You know, I was a little bit skeptical just because I had heard that sometimes they just kind of fill in the blanks, and everything is not completely accurate. When we went to her, quote, finding location 7 years ago, in my heart, I never believed that she had been abandoned there. It was basically on the patio of a house in this village. And I thought, if she was, quote, you know, brought to a police station, I suspected that it was a relative who said, we found this baby, wink, wink, at this address. One thing in her file at the orphanage said that she was brought in wearing new clothes, which also told me that this child was valued. And it's not, I think it's kind of unfair because I think it's so easy to judge the Chinese people for, quote, giving up these babies, girls. How could they do that? You know, there's a lot of judgment. And I think it's, the story is much more complex than that. And, you know, when we started this search, which really, I mean, the clues were unfolding before us. And I said to Haven, you know, if at any time you want me to stop, I will. But I'm doing this for them as much as I'm doing this for you, because I believe that they love you. They've, you know, I just had this feeling. I knew there was a family out there that loved her. And I felt like if I could give them peace of mind, and share her with them, I wanted to be able to do that. You know, some children die young and the parents never have a second chance. Some children are kidnapped and they never see their kids again. And I felt like if I, you know, through, you know, divine intervention or whatever, have an opportunity to, you know, bring them together, I want to, you know, be the, I don't know, the, what's the word? just want to be a catalyst for that, you mm-hmm. know? So
the fact that there are subtleties and nuances to this family story that may go unanswered. It sounds like the only way they would be answered is if you or Haven was intent on pressing it. And it's, mm-hmm. Tell me if I've got this wrong, but from talking to her and listening to you, it sounds like you can live with a certain ambiguity. You understand that the situation is, mm-hmm. these situations are often very nuanced. It's not one extreme or the other. And that you can live with that ambiguity, that's okay.
I feel like it's a trade-off. I'm very curious by nature. I like to get to the bottom of things. But I feel like not at the expense of offending someone or alienating someone, it's not worth it to me. You know, I feel like, you know, it's all worked out now. The last night we were all together, we had this big dinner and we hugged the birth parents, Haven and I. And afterwards, through Charlie, our translator, Haven's dad said, "This is God's arrangement."
This is God's arrangement?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And we just feel like, you know, the stars aligned and, you know, it all worked out.